I'm Alicia and I'm an addict.
Alicia.
Grateful to be here, grateful to be clean today. I guess before I get, like, dive right into step two and step three, I'll qualify myself a little bit. talk a little bit about where I came from, what it was like before I started using, because I do know and truly believe that I was an addict before I ever picked up the first one. And I won't talk much about getting high because we all know what it's like to do that. And tell you what Narcotics Anonymous and the steps have done for me in my life today. I grew up in a small town, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. I did not grow up with, like, the white picket fence family. My mom and dad are divorced. They both are married to other addicts who use, whose children use, whose children use, whose children use, and just kind of goes down the line. It's definitely a family disease for me. And actually, I woke up this morning, and it's 12 years ago today that my sister was killed drinking and driving, and, like, it makes me realize that, like, how present the disease was in my life without me even knowing it when I was younger. Things really, really, really took a turn for the worse in my home life at that point because, you know, when you're living in a house where it's addicts using, it's natural chaos. Like, whether, you know, you go to school with the clothes and the smile, like, you can't bring anybody to your house because of what's going on behind closed doors. And like, from an early age, like, that taught me, as long as I have a smile on my face, as long as I look like I'm doing good, then, like, I must be doing good. So, like, as long as I dress up the outside to cover up the inside, it's going to be okay. And I had to learn through working the steps, like, through this process that, like, that's not okay. I cannot fix an inside problem with an outside solution. And when I was 15 years old, my stepmom killed herself. She actually, they found over 500 pills in her stomach, but she did take 90 Oxycontin. And pretty sure, like, the first 4 or 5 did her in, but she, you know, she wrote a note, and she got dressed, and, like, you know, she dyed her hair, and, like, she had it, like, all planned out, and, like, it's just amazing, like, how the disease, like, progresses to the point of, like, utter desperation to, like, where you don't want to live anymore. And, like, I absolutely remember that feeling. Like, I remember getting high. I remember sticking the needle in my arm and crying because I did not want to get high anymore. And, like, I just didn't see a way out. Like, but, like, every time, like, I would just keep coming back to NA. I would just keep coming back to NA. Like, I'd come to NA, I'd pick up a 30-day key tag, and I'd go out and get high. And, like, I'd come back the next day and, like, try to play it off like I was clean. And, like, everybody knew I was using but me. You know, like, everybody knew I was lying. Everybody knew what I was doing was wrong but me. And I think what it was, like, you know, third condition, like, the desire was there for me to stay clean, but, like, the willingness to do whatever it took was not. You know what I mean? Like, I had the desire, but, like, I did not have the willingness to pick up a step working guy. I did not have the willingness to get a sponsor. I certainly did not have the willingness to, like, stop hanging out with my old friends because, like, I could do that because I was different. And, like, that's where step two, like, really comes into my life, like, that insanity of, like, making the same mistakes, doing the same things, and, like, thinking I wasn't going to get high. And that's just, like, when I was using, you know what I mean? Like, getting into, like, the utter desperation of having nowhere to go. And, like, your family turns their head, and, like, your family turns their back, and, like, they're junkies themselves. Like, it's a sad situation when, like, your mom is sitting there, like, doing meth, and, like, she's like, you're not welcome in my house. And I really had to take a look at that because whether it was in Philly or, like, New York City or Atlanta, like, I wasn't in a big city, but, like, I ended up, like, in a foreclosed house, like, in an abandoned house, like, with sheets up on the wall in a bedroom on a mattress with, like, 6 other junkies with no running water, no food, no money, and, like, nowhere to turn. And I realized in that very moment, like, it wasn't, it, call it a spiritual awakening, call it a moment of clarity, call it whatever you want. Like, in that very second, like, I had dope, I had money, and, like, I woke up in a bathtub and, like, realized, like, this is not where I want to be because I'm going to die here, and, like, that's not the way I want to go. Like, this is not how I want to spend the rest of my life. And, like, I picked up the phone and, like, I called rehab on my own, And, like, I got to detox, and, like, they said, I'm sorry, but, like, your county's not going to fund you to stay here anymore. And I was like, well, let me talk to my caseworker. They sent me home. Like, I was on my knees in my caseworker's office crying, like, asking to please, 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 please just give me another chance. And, like, this guy who used to come to meetings in the area where I used to live, like, he said, like, you know what, Alicia, like, as long as you're willing to do whatever it takes. And around Christmas time, I went back to my old area because I really just wanted to say thank you and, like, show him I was clean and, like, I found out he passed away. And I'm, like, every day, like, I say thank you by not picking up the first one. You know, it's those indirect amends that you make by, like, just not getting high. And, like, you know, step one laid the foundation for me to surrender. Like, I formally worked step one, and, like, I realized, like, I cannot do this alone. Like, I am an addict. I need the rooms. I need my sponsor. I need a support group. Like, I need people in my life to continue to maintain. And once it laid the foundation for surrender, like, step two was, like, something that, like, I naturally wanted to go into. Like, I really just wanted to, like, keep moving on in the process because I can be clean and be just as crazy as I was when I was using. And, like, the same person will use again. Like, if I keep sleeping around, I'm going to get high. If I keep going to stores and boosting, I'm going to get high. Like, if I keep throwing up my food because I want to look good, like, I'm going to get high. Because self-esteem and, like, self-worth and, like, self-respect, that's all something that I wanted to gain when I got clean. Because I know when I was using, like, I didn't respect myself at all. Like, it was a good day when, like, you know, my body was worth $25 to get a bag of dope. You know, it was a good day when, you know, some guy was like, if you sleep with me, like, here, I'll give you a bag, and, like, I was okay with that. And, like, that's what I felt like I was worth. Like, I felt like I was literally worth, like, the next hit, the next shot, the next one, whatever it was. And, like, now that I'm clean, like, I realize that my life is worth a lot more than that today. Like, I am worth a lot more than a drug, than a man, than a shirt. And, like, it's funny because sometimes, like, you know, I say, like, I don't ever want to go there again, or I don't ever want to go back. I don't want to go to jail. I don't ever want to go back to, like, being in the back of that police car. But, like, when I'm going to the store and I'm shoplifting, like, my actions are saying something different. You know, like, I'm talking a good game. Like, I can stand up here and, like, say what the book says and, like, talk about this and talk about that. But if I'm not living it in my life, like, there's no use even picking up that book and reading it. You know, like, if I can't keep coming back, keep coming to meetings, like, share what was so freely given to me, like, I'm just being like an NA thief, man. I'm stealing the message and running away. And, like, I don't want to be about that today. Like, I want to be about something different, about the commitment that, like, I was taught, you know. Step two really was, like, kind of like the prelude to, like, what I did in step four, like, the insanity. Like, I started seeing some of the small patterns, like, in my life. And it's funny because, like, when I think of step two and three, I think of, like, the spiritual steps, like, when you're starting to, like, become in tune with, you know, your higher power and what's going on, and if you are trying to develop one or have one when you're in your life. And I never would have thought, like, I would be the one up here sharing about that, because all the different processes and steps that I went through, like, find a God that, like, I'm comfortable with. And I just need to say that, like, when I say God, it's just to keep it simple. Like, I don't know what it is out there, but I do know that, like, there is something out there, because if there wasn't, like, I'd still be getting high. Or I'd be dead. Because when left to my own devices, when I have my own will, like, when I stick my fingers into it, I always end up with a needle in my arm. Every time. Every time. And, like, once I worked step two and I could start seeing, like, how crazy, like, how insane, like, things were in my addiction, like, because I didn't realize, like, when the electric gets shut off, like, that's not good. Like, when the water is not running, like, that's not good. When there's no food in the refrigerator, like, because when I was getting high, like, I didn't care. Like, there was nothing that happened that, like, really bothered me. Because, like, I would just go get another bag and go get another bag and go get another bag. And, like, when I got clean, like, that I'm just going to go get another bag, like, caught up with me. And there were some things that, like, I needed to take care of. And, you know, when I first got clean, I think I felt more insane than I did when I was using, because I had no idea which direction to turn, where to go, what to do, and, like, That's why I got a sponsor to help guide me in my life. Like, when I came into the room, I acted like a slut. Why? Because when I was on the streets, that's how I was living. Like, I thought, like, if I put on a short skirt and a tight top and, like, I looked good and guys were noticing me, like, that validated my existence. Until I got a sponsor who, like, showed me how to act like a woman. Who, like, told me, hey, when you dress like that, you get the wrong type of attention. And I was like, I never thought about stuff like that because, like, I was fresh off the streets thinking I was hot shit. And, look at me, and girl, I kind of like it when people don't look at me. And if you're looking at me, like, I'm hoping it's because I'm doing something good. Step two really led me, obviously led me into step three. You know, I really think of the steps as a staircase, like, I gotta get a firm foundation to plant the foot on the next one, to plant the foot on the next one, to plant the foot on the next one, and, like, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God if we understood Him. And in step two, it really doesn't say God anywhere. Like, I need to say that for me, there is a distinction between, like, a power greater than myself and my higher power. A power greater than myself when I first came in was, like, the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because, like, God wasn't something I was trying to hear. I was pretty angry. Like, I didn't understand why, like, when I was little, my family got high, why I had was a victim of sexual abuse, like, why, like, domestic violence had to happen, why my parents were addicts, why. So, like, God really wasn't something I was trying to hear. So my power greater than myself, like, I clung on to NA. I clung to the rooms. You know, I just listened to the positive things that, like, people, that was going on in people's lives, and I realized that, like, as long as I keep coming back, like, that too can happen for me. And, like, things will get better. And, like, I started getting some faith and, like, some hope. And, like, step two really is the hope step. You know, like, I started getting some hope that, like, I too can recover. And when I moved into step three, like, this was, like, my process and, like, coming to believe, really, that, like, I took a step back and looked at, like, I really don't make anything happen. Like, I do make things happen, but, like, the opportunities are given to me by, like, something greater. Like, my higher power, like, offers opportunities to me, and, like, I choose whether or not to take them. You know, I say it all the time to my sponsors because my sponsor said it to me, like, every action, you know, like, has that equal or opposite reaction. For everything I do, like, there's going to be a repercussion, a consequence, and, like, am I willing to take the consequence of my actions today? Like, I can do whatever I want. Like, I know I can do whatever I want. But, like, do I really want to feel the feelings after I do that? Like, do I want to go to the store and shoplift because that instant gratification, well, if it's so fucking great, why does it only last an instant? Like, if instant gratification is so great, why is it over like that? Because it's not. Like, it's the stuff that I do that, like, in the long run, like, I can look back and feel good about myself because, like, I went to the store and, like, maybe I have to go to Walmart and buy, like, Walmart t-shirts because, like, I can't afford to go to, like, the hockey place and spend money because, like, I have a family today. Like, God blessed me with a family. Like, I never thought I would have kids. Like, I never thought that, like, I would settle down and be like, here I am, like, buying a house. Like, I have a fiancé, I have a 5-month-old son, and, like, it's the most amazing feeling in the world. To, like, go home and, like, lay my head down at night and, like, know when I wake up tomorrow, like, when the alarm goes off, I'm going to get out of bed and go to work, whether I want to or not. Because, like, NA has taught me to, like, grow up and show up to life. That's something I could never do. I really couldn't. Like, I always thought it should be handed to me. I always thought the world owed me something. Like, if you were me, if you were raised how I was raised, like, if you lived my life, like, you'd understand. And, like, today, like, I just turn it over, man. Like, and it's hard. Like, I don't turn everything over. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm a perfect addict because I'm not. Like, I get angry. Like, I don't always practice acceptance. Like, I'm in a relationship. There's obviously some of that going on there. You know, I have a grandmother who nags me, and, like, we live 2 hours away, and she still seems to call and talk every day for 30 minutes. And, like, but you know what? At least she's calling me today. And, like, that's the gratitude I have to have in the situation. Like, when I was getting high, she didn't even want to look at me. Like, she didn't even want to see me. And, like, today she calls just because, like, she knows I'm going to pick up the phone. Like, I have the same phone number for a while now. That's an improvement. You know, I don't know. All I know is, like, there is something greater than me. There's something greater than me because I'm standing here today, because if you had asked me 10 years ago what I was going to be, I would have told you, like, I was going to be the first female president of the United States, and, like, I always say, so, like, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, like, I probably wouldn't have told you that I would be standing at, like, at an NA meeting, sharing my story about how I stay clean, like, but, like, this spot right here, like, is not that bad. It's really not, like, and, like, I do, like, I try to say this, like, whenever I share, because, like, it's something I have to keep in mind, like, somewhere, right now, like, someone is turning their first trick, or doing their first bag, or taking their first hit, some little kid is, like, waiting for their mom to come home, and, like, she hasn't showed up yet, and, like, someone is taking their last breath because of this disease, and, like, this spot right here is not that bad. Like, those chairs in the meetings, like, they're not empty. Like, there's someone to fill those chairs. Like, they just haven't made it yet. And, like, that's why we pray at the end of the meeting. Like, I'm a firm believer of, like, no one has to die so others can live. Like, if the chairs get full, like, we'll sit on laps. If the laps get full, like, we'll sit on the fucking floor. Like, nobody has to die. Like, the basic text does not say that in there anywhere. It says any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. 2 days ago was the anniversary of a friend who passed away. Today's the anniversary of my sister. 2 weeks ago, one of my sponsees passed away, and two of my friends, and, like, it doesn't get any easier. It doesn't. And, like, all I know is, in order for that to not be me, like, I just got to turn it over, man. I got to give my will to God and, like, just not pick up the first one, because if I don't pick up the first one, I don't have to put it down. I'm just truly grateful to be here, and I'm truly grateful to be clean today. God bless me with this opportunity. For some reason, there's some purpose I'm here, and, like, I'm not trying to figure it out. Like, I'm just trying to do the next right thing, and, like, I know He'll guide me in my life. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Alicia. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Wendy B., from the New Horizons Group in Narcotics Anonymous in the WAGS area.
Excuse me, I have to pick up back in the cell. Yeah, an OCD. Good morning, family. I'm an addict named Wendy.
Hey, Wendy.
How we doing? Does that mean I'm doing step three?
That's
Wendy. Twin three. Somebody keep a watch going, because I'm long-winded, okay? Cut me off. I get these things to. I've been around, so I want to give it all away so I can keep it. I'm real selfish today. Like it says in step three, things are feeling so good, I want a whole lot more. And that's the same way I was in my using. I'm not going to qualify. If you listen to me a few minutes, you'll know. I qualify. I'm right where I need to be, and somehow God got me here, and I'm real grateful today. On step two, it said in my basic text that I need to get a God. And my definition of God was the one that zapped me for ripping off too much, the one that zapped me for stealing, the one that zapped me because of whatever I was doing. Because whatever I was doing wasn't good. Whatever I was doing. Plotting to steal, even. And it just said it'd be loving, caring, and greater than me. And that was really hard for me to wrap my brain around, because I was pretty sure I got raised up in religions, and I didn't like them very much. As Native American, I went to the reservation and had to stay there because I was on, I'd been popped at 14 for being a little, I mean 12 for being a little entrepreneur, the illegal way, not the right way. So I had to go live with the only male figure I had, and that was my grandfather. That was as close as it was, so I went to the res. I didn't like it there because I always felt like a round peg in a square hole before I got there, and when I got there, I really felt like a round peg in a square hole. Because I was not white enough when I went to town, and I didn't get accepted by the people in town, and I was not native enough to go to the ceremonies. So I didn't fit anywhere. So how do I fit a God that's loving, caring, and greater me in a round peg with a square hole? That's what I did. That's just who I was. And I found one. In those little tiny miracles and those little coincidences is where I made it a whole day without picking up. Because that's what they said in the meeting. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't even, you know, what you did in the past. We don't care what you've done in the past, how much or how little you did. We don't care. We don't care. No, it was just stay clean for 24 hours. And I'm like, a whole day? I couldn't do it. Then it says 5 minutes at a time. Have you ever watched a clock for 5 minutes? I'm one of those idiots that did. That is the longest time in the world. I would give anything today to have that long 5 minutes. I don't have them anymore. I'm really busy all the time. And it's really good because I love it. Which means maybe I'm doing something right today. And I like that, doing the next right thing. And I found a guy to my understanding because I'm like everybody else. I went for that illusion and delusion of being okay again. Flying, like the first time. It never, ever came back. Not for me. And I'm real grateful I have that higher power today. Of course, we also say in the basic text, it says, if you have a problem admitting that you wouldn't want a fatal heart attack or a tragic car accident, you might have a problem with step two. Well, being a little machete I am, bring it on. I've never had one. Go ahead. I had a little problem with step two. No, I never had a fatal heart attack. No, you die in those things. God, what a concept. But no, okay, I'm still here. And I didn't want it after a while because I really started liking what was going on in the room. That attraction that we talk about. You know, there's something going on in here. I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of energy. And when I leave here, I really feel better. Really feel better. And I don't want to pick up. And I've never been to a meeting where I didn't have hope. And people joke with me all the time because I say, you know, God gave me this program so I can really work it and live it. And God put people in my life so I can really live this program and work it. And some people come into my life and really make me live my program. And they're a little difficult to deal with. And you know what? My way of dealing with them is I give them up to God. And I didn't like that because as a Native American, when we surrendered, we lost horses, land, hair. You know, we went to town, they cut our hair because we didn't look right. You know, they made us speak English. And as you've noticed, I mangle the language really good. So I try. Oh, be still my heart. Sorry. Another addiction. Step two for me was a place I came to that was kind of calming. The first time in my life I'd been really calm. I found out about surrender. And I listened in the rooms, and somebody said surrender was not giving up, not losing, not having things taken away from me, not going, oh, F it. He was turning it up to a higher power. I wasn't going to lose if I surrendered. And that was such a concept. Wrap my brain around that. I'm pretty sure I only had 2 brain cells left when I got here, and maybe I'm up to 3.5 now. But I've been working at it. So step two for me was learning how to just surrender. Give that up. Give the person up. Give the problem up. Give the battle up. Give it up to my higher power. Because every time I tried to make it work my way and fix it, because I'm a fixer, it didn't work. It got worse. It was miserable, just as miserable as when I wasn't doing it. And I just always got tired. And I always got that knot back in my gut. And I was always angry. And I got tired of that place. That's the nice thing today. I don't have to go to those places because I know what they are. And they raise their little ugly head. And I said, nope, I'll give you up. Because I really do like that good stuff. I want all that good stuff. And I have most of that good stuff. I'm like just was foolishly shared. I like me. I can look me in the mirror today. I'm not where I want to be. But you know what? I got the rest of the day to change that. I'm not exactly at that perfect level. I know I can be. But I don't ever want to be perfect because there was No way in heaven I know I can be perfect. I don't even like part of perfection. I used to be such a perfectionist, I painted my living room wall 5 times, same color. It had brush strokes in it. I mean, that's some OCD bad. You know what I mean? Oh, somebody's ducking. Okay, we can relate. We'll talk later. Love you. But I don't have to repeat that insanity anymore, not even in my life. You know, I part of my insanity is family, like somebody else was sharing. I don't know what it is about our family. They can make us crazy in a heartbeat, and I have to pull back a lot of times and remember who I'm dealing with. My family sits there and they say things, but guess what? They're addicts. They're still on their path. I need to leave them alone. They're none of my business. They're really not. And when I mind my own business, I have sanity. And that works for me. I like sanity today. I surrender them up to God. Of course, I'm kicking the dirt and praying and going, God, I don't want to go through this. Well, guess what? Some days I don't have a choice. That's how I grow. That's how I get some character. That's how I get rid of some of my defects. Because some days I can wake up and my disease, without ever picking up, then set me off in my defect, and I'm a pain in the ass to be around. Anybody else ever do that? Oh, that's too bad. I love step two. It restores me to sanity. Today I can say, yeah, I was thinking insane. Yeah, I ran after that delusion and illusion, and it never, ever paid off. It was just that, a delusion and an illusion. And it's not going to be any other different. I have to learn to live life on life's terms today, and maybe I don't like them. But you know what? We've done a lot of things we didn't like. When we were out there using, we did a lot of things we didn't like. When we were out there using, you know, we swore we weren't going to go while our feet were heading to the car. We were ready to do it and trying to figure out who we were going to rob first so we'd have enough money. Or maybe we'll just rob them. You know? So my whole life was lying, cheating, and stealing. Lying to me, cheating from me too, and stealing from me. Today, I'm real grateful for my higher power. He's restored me to some sanity. He's taught me how to surrender. The people in the rooms have taught me how to surrender. I have a sponsor that teaches me how to surrender. And I really love what was said before. That's where we keep coming back. Just keep coming back to the rooms. Nobody's going to say, psych, you're not wanted here. I haven't heard it yet. And I've been coming to some rooms for a while. Haven't heard it yet. So for me, I'm real grateful. My higher power finally taught me, yeah, you are insane. And I couldn't deny it anymore. And he let me get some sanity. He also tells me he's loving, caring, and greater than me. Because I don't know about you, nothing was greater than me but the dope out there. Nothing. It ruled my life, told me where to go, tell me when to do it, everything else. Tell me how to get it. And today it still talks to me. I don't know about yours, but I have to tell mine to shut up and go play with itself on I-75. I-91, take 242, I don't care, as long as you go away. But get out of my way. I'm not playing with you today. I don't listen to my disease for very long at all. Because you know what? If I stop for more than 10 seconds, because I was taught 10 second rule. If I'm thinking about it more than 10 seconds, I need to move my body, change my mind, do something else. 10 seconds still works for me today. Because if I get all jammed up and I'm not surrendering my finances, I'm starting to plot how to rob convenience and how to get a, you know, trail out of there. Whose car I'm going to jack, how I'm going to get in and out, what time of day, is there a freeway closed? No, I can't do that one, you know. And then when I surrender my finances, I stop thinking about jacking convenience and stealing cars and everything else. For some reason, when I give it up to my higher power, I have freedom. So to me, step two is freedom. Too cool. So for me, I love sanity today. I want to be restored to sanity. I get a lot of joy from being there and a lot of freedom. For me, step two led right into step three. Because you know what? Yeah, I got a higher power now. Now what do I do? So step three for me is to turn my will and my life over. Are you allowed like a little bit like me? I turned my life over, but I was going to keep my will and run with it. It was a mess. Then I turned my will over, and I want to run with my life. It was a mess. I got kind of tired of that. It's kind of like getting, you know, being something that got back and forth. That makes me crazy. So when I turned my will and my life over, I got some more freedom and some more sanity. want to turn my will and my life over again. There are things I don't like. What do you mean I got to do this? What do you mean I better be productive? Don't you know it's all about me? I'm it. It's all about me. What about me? What about me? Don't make me do that. I don't like it. But you know what? Not liking it and doing it grudgingly got me to the point where I can do it with no problems today. Because I want his will in my life. Because it tells me another step. The best thing I can do is search and be what my higher power wants me to be by giving up my will in my life. Good catch, little lady. I like turning it over to my higher power. I made a mess out there with my will in my life. My will never got me anything good. My life was such chaos. I love the word when it was said before. It was chaos. I don't care what kind of chaos, it was chaos. And if it wasn't enough chaos, I'd create some. And if it wasn't enough drama, I'd create some. And you know what? Today, I don't like drama. I don't like chaos. I don't like yelling. I'm grown up enough today to let's talk about it. If we got a problem, let's talk about it. Let's get out of the problem and get in the solution. Because to me, that's what step three did for me, too. I love it. I mean, they're two of my favorite steps. But there's two other I really love, too. Because that's what led me out of my depravity and insanity and desperation and hopelessness. I am real grateful because my higher power, I do it first thing in the morning. I turn my will and my life first thing in the morning because you know what? By the time my feet are on the floor, my disease is already talking. And I don't want to hear it. So I do it before I even leave the driveway if I hadn't done that. And I think it's kind of neat. Turning my will and my life over, I've learned that my higher power wants good things for me. Yeah, some days I grudge my little feet and I drag them, but he wants good things for me. I was let go last Friday from my job because of lack of work. And you know what? It tells me in another place, so long as I follow that path, I got nothing to fear. Nothing. And I look at today as a new adventure. I don't know where God's going to put me, but I'm kind of excited. Where are we going now? What are we going to do now? And of course, the little kid in the back seat screaming, are we there yet? You know, but that's my disease. It does that. I don't know what we're going to do now. I'm just doing the next right thing. I cleaned up my resume. I can stop turning my will my way forward. I cleaned up my resume. I did it all in gear. You know, I applied for unemployment. And you know what? I'm being taken care of. Because that job is not my source. That job does not define me. My higher power defines me. My higher power is my source. My higher power is the one that made me start liking me. Because I didn't even like me. Somebody used to say, oh, stick around here until you love yourself. I'm like, Jesus, I don't even like me very well. You want me to love me? That's a big stretch. And I didn't know what love was. To be truthful, I could stand here and tell you what everything wasn't. My marriage wasn't, love wasn't, and I don't know what the rest of it. And I wasn't real healthy as a mom. And only by God's grace did I get to stay there. I've never been to treatment. There wasn't but one place when I got clean that you could go for treatment. I learned about it in the rooms. I think it's great. I do. Because anytime we can get any help, and I used to be the worst offender. Everything's in the 12 steps. You don't need nothing else. You only need NA. Because if I got clean in NA, that's all you need. Today, if we can get more recovery from anywhere else, I'm taking it. I'm greedy because I like what's going on. I like me. I like the things around me. My higher power has me stopped not one day not giving me something really great to be grateful for. Something great. I mean, it can be the minorest thing. We got lost. I have never, in 6 years of coming here, only twice have we come the same way. We get lost every year, and I keep sitting there going, I went this way last year, I remember it. And you know what? They are the nicest people up and down these roads that always seem to get us here. But we pray before we leave. We surrender our will and our life. So to me, that's part of the benefits of this program. And they are so cute because they walk with them. Lost, aren't you? You got it. They are so cute. They must have seen a lot of us. It is so neat. And then you get to talk, and then they go, oh, you're going to retreat? Oh, you're going to Camp Harmony? Oh, wow. And you know what? I think it's so blessing to have that happen. You know? Any other time when we were lost, no, man, I'm not lost. I got it. I got it. But could you you know, kind of, am I close? But I got it. I can handle this. You know? Can I just go, no, man, I am not okay. And please, dude, how close am I? We're close, aren't we? They are so cute. You know? They must be. But never mind. Off on the tangent again. But the sunshine we got, you know? And the wonderful view we got on the way here. That, and the meeting on the way up. You know, to me that is awesome. The meeting's on the way home from the meeting. That's still my higher power at work. I learned so much here. The last speaker gave me hope. I have some really young ones. And they drive me, I allow them to drive me nuts. Like, how many times do I got to say it? And then I remind myself, excuse me, I started using when I was 10, 11, 12. I was like them. I was probably born addicted before I even picked up. I'm adopted. I don't know what the other stuff is going on. But I am real grateful today. I can change my life around. And I have a higher power and I have tools to do it. And I never quite understood that before. What do you mean tools? What's a tool? And then they go, oh, the basic tech, picking up the phone. And I get a little frustrated because I have people I sponsored and I'm like, I hear what's going on with them in the meetings. You know? And all of a sudden, like, did you pick up the phone? And every turn around at me because they know I sponsor them. And they're looking at me and I'm like, I got to surrender them. I got to surrender up everybody. And I get a little frustrated with it. Excuse me. My favorite thing to say in the meeting is, well, if you put that 1,000-pound finger in that 500-pound phone, you might not be where you are. And that's about how nice I say it. But apparently I'm not getting through. So you know what? I don't like it. I surrender it because it just jams me up. And I'm worth more than that. If they don't put their finger in the phone, they don't surrender. They don't dial the number. That's with them and their God, and I got to mind my own business. So to me, the whole steps are about taking care of me, straightening me out, giving me some sanity, giving me some hope. You know, I listen, and I love coming here, and I learn all the time from somebody in here. You know what? They had the same struggle. They're going through the same thing. And that's what's so neat. I love about that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And I love the word empathy. Empathy is understanding without speaking any words. You don't have to say anything. That is so cool today. And that's what I love about step three. It taught me all that. Step three to me is a lifesaver. Step two was a mind saver. And coming to the room was a whole lifesaver. And just keep coming back. Live those steps. You know, when I first got clean, no you don't, I hate saying that. When I first got clean, we used to say, work the steps or die, you know who. I don't believe that anymore. I don't want anybody dying anymore. Live the steps. Just start writing them and live them every day and they'll do it automatically. You won't even believe it. They start to come automatically. You won't suffer the pain. I love the 10th step because I can do this and I alleviate the pain before I bring it on myself. I'm like, oh, right. I can stop being my own worst enemy, which was what my grandmother told me when I was a little bitty. I can stop being my own worst enemy. I can leave something at that pace. I don't have to be in that mess anymore. So that's why I like turning my will and my life over. Because there's some things I cannot believe. I heard somebody share last night, I cannot believe how much better my life is. I'm no longer, you know, and I didn't think I deserved it. But you know what? I'm beginning to feel pretty good about deserving half the things that come in my life. And the rest of them are just frosting on it. So you know what? If we just keep coming back, keep doing the next right thing, pick up the phone, call the sponsor, do some writing. I know everybody hates it, but me. You know, keep coming back. I heard somebody say before me, it ain't gotten any better. No, it ain't. But I got a whole lot of tools that make me better, make me a better place to be, give me a better life to live in. So I love you. Y'all keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share, family.